It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for the ninth day of October 2019. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you'll find the gang gathering for the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you pick yourself out a screen name and a password and hop into the aforesaid merry, wacky, well, then you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jimmy and Squeaky, and capably moderated by, well, no, not so capably, me. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, thoughts going out this evening to all of our friends in California who are without power. Climate change, the climate crisis, the climate emergency sucks. And a whole bunch of electricity customers in California, some 600,000 or so, don't have electricity. Squeaky in the chat room is one of them. Squeaky tells me the freezers are separate and the fridge may be okay, but yeah, the food in the fridge is mostly bye-bye-bye morning. God, that's so frustrating. I mean, we lose power fairly regularly here because our coal-fried power grid is antiquated and rickety and entirely reliant upon coal. You know, a civilized country, years and years and years ago, might have done something like, say, encouraging people to put solar panels on their houses so there wouldn't be so much, stress on the grid. The problem, though, is that when you're out, if you've got a grid-tied solar system, for the most part, if you've got a grid-tied solar system and you don't have some sort of backup, well, if the power goes out on the grid, you're still screwed. Solar or no solar. Unless you've got, like, battery backups or some sort of, propane household generator or even a gasoline generator. It's frustrating as hell. So, like I said, our thoughts, we have lived with this sort of thing here in wild, wonderful West by Coal Trump Virginia stand. So I know a little bit about the frustration and the anger. And all because they're trying to keep California from catching fire again because there's high winds coming. Man, I'm sorry. So we have thanks to send out for this ninth day of October. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. Thanks going out to our sole lone subscriber on the ninth day of the month, and that would be Khalil. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you for being the subscriber that puts an X over the ninth day of the month. Thank you so very much. And thank you to Rusty and to Yuki and to Debbie for jumping in al fresco, or al dente, al dente? No. What did we say it was? A la carte. To help take the fundraising goal down some. That leaves us with $345. I misestimated earlier when I was telling Brother Deacon Asa what the fundraising goal was to put on the page. It's actually $345, but so that's $145 left over from last night because of Yuki and Rusty and Debbie jumping in. Thank you again. And so that's where we stand in trying to keep up with things here. I'm paying bills as they roll in, and as far as the ongoing crisis that has now entered its second week, as of yesterday, as a matter of fact, a little crisis here in our family, I will not go deep into it except to say that it is taking a toll on all of us here. It's devastating to Agnes, it's devastating to me, and it's especially devastating to our son. And so one of the things that I'm working on is trying to get him into a residential treatment program. This is a hard country, and I don't just mean West Virginia. Some places are harder than others. We at least have the Medicaid expansion here. But, of course, he was uninsured. He's eligible, but nobody can apply but him. And that's not something that's going to happen where he is. And I can tell you that I've had some substantial help from good friends of the program. Our friend Nidia has been particularly helpful in helping me to try to navigate the system. And I've downloaded all kinds of application stacks and stacks and stacks of paperwork to try to get FERG help. And I've talked to a couple of facilities. And the first question is, it's not how is he or how can we help. The first question, without fail, is how are you going to pay for it? For instance, or if it's not how you're going to pay for it, it's does he have insurance? This is why we need some sort of cradle-to-grave health care program in this country. Because I dare say, although I can't say for certain, we've got friends, for instance, in the UK who could answer this, they have a national health service, which I rather imagine includes mental health care, maybe even addiction treatment. And what they say, or what I imagine they say, is how can we help, not how are you going to pay for it. One outfit said that in the absence of insurance, he was free to give them $4,000 up front and then give them another $4,000 later. Ain't going to happen. I can't imagine who is out there that can do that in a state like this. But if you have a national health service that you've been signed up to the moment you were born, when you have a problem, you just deal with the problem. But because capitalism rules everything in this country, you wind up in the space that my son is in, with people trying to help him, like his mother and me, who are in the miserable space that we're in. Damn. And after a while, it begins to feel like your brains are going to blow right through the front of your skull, because the frustration, it feels like it's the engine that's behind the brains, pushing them forward. And so this is not any kind of plea for pity or anything. This is just a reminder of how brutal this country is. when it comes to health care and how hard on people this country is when it comes not just to health care, but specifically mental health care. Because no matter how hard mental health professionals work, and they do work hard, we are still nowhere near getting to the point where we treat a mental health problem on the same level as we treat, cardiac health problem or a pulmonary health problem or a cancer problem. Because inherent, for some reason, and possibly I think the reason, part of the reason for that, is that the field of mental health is so young. No, I don't mean Carl Gustav Jung. I mean Y-O-U-N-G Jung. We are barely a century removed from practices like pulling all the teeth of a mentally ill person on the theory that bad teeth cause mental illness. We're maybe a couple of hundred years, if we can say this about all of us, a couple of hundred years from thinking that mental health problems are caused by demons or black bile or a phase of the moon. Lunatic is still in our lexicon. A lunatic is someone who is affected by the malevolent forces of the dead, lifeless, lightless satellite that orbits our planet. And it takes a lot to get around stupid shit like that, to get over stupid shit like that. Now, this is, after all, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And by way of proof of that, well, as the deacons begin to, the little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall kitchen decided to go with fried chicken and fried potatoes this evening. Nice protein load alongside a big old whopping carb load. The deacons were fired up and ready to go, especially after little vanilla ice cream sundaes for dessert, because pretty soon it's going to be cold enough nobody's going to be interested in ice cream. And they trundled their massive bulk out into the parking lot and chain smoked with the sinners out there. Hey, buddy, you got a light? Eventually, Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door with the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod. And the deacons have been sort of laying down on the job lately, and they ambled saucily past her. There was no running. They meandered down front. They've been waiting here. As I got ahead of myself on the program. But, in fact, I will call the Minister of Music forward to lead us in the offertory prayer so that the deacons can move among us and pass those heavy brass velvet-lined plates with the little PayPal button in the bottom. And so that hopefully we will go forward in terms of keeping the lights on in the cathedral and in the horn studios as well. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ah! Ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Hop, glory, I'm calling on you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and wiggling, waggling, waddling, squinch yourself up real quick so you don't. Put anything in the faces of the other people in the pews. And come on out and come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sister, and hope, glory. Amen. And fall upon your knees at the altar. Lay your hands, amen, amen, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. From the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Powerful Patriarch, Munificent Mullah, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen. Amen. You know, just a few minutes ago, brethren and sistren, and I got to tell you, the plates are going to keep passing because they came back empty this time. Just a few minutes ago, brethren and sistren, I was telling you all about how mental health suffers because it's so relatively young compared to other medical specialties, and all about how there are still people out there who think that invisible spectral demons and black bile and what have you, phases of the moon and gender. Don't forget gender. Yes, Brother Scott in San Diego reminds us that the effects of the moon, demons, and along the way, there are more than a few folks who believe that just being a woman was cause of instability or even madness. Hysteria, anyone? Yes, yes. Hysteria was something you could only get if you had the lady parts in your body. And so it is that the way things work out here, by operation of the guiding hand of the goddess of irony, takes us to a Facebook post from none other than Franklin Graham. Yes, yes, Franklin Graham, who sits around spending more time thinking about other people having sex than almost all the other people having sex combined. Jesus, I bet. Has that fucker reproduced? Oh, sorry. Bad word. Over on the Facebook, Franklin Graham, medical specialist, not, decided to unlimber himself of his feelings on the theory of disease transmission. Here's a topic that probably won't be mentioned in the upcoming Democratic debate. An incredible 2.4 million cases of sexually transmitted diseases were diagnosed across the U.S. just last year alone. Hollywood is busy. Hollywood? How'd that get in there? Oh, wait, it's Franklin Graham. Hollywood is busy promoting promiscuity to the world. Almost every movie, every television show is focused on sex, just like I am. Oh, wait, I added that last part. The saying goes, sex sells. Well, the statistics in the CNN article verify that there's a price to pay, and it is a very heavy price. God made us male and female and gave sex for us to enjoy inside a marriage relationship between a man and a woman, not two men, not two women. We'll just kind of ignore that photograph of Melanoma Trump smolicking all over that other female woman person that everybody's seen by now. We'll just leave that aside for a moment. The Bible says that anyone who sins sexually sins against their own body. No, it doesn't. How true? No, it isn't. What's the protection the world is looking for? It's simple. Condoms. No. Follow God's guidelines. Have only a monogamous relationship with your husband or your wife. As you read this, maybe you're one of these statistics and have a sexually transmitted disease. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You can be forgiven. He can cleanse your heart, and in His eyes, it will be as though you've never sinned, but you will still have the fucking clap. I added that last part. It's not the forgiveness that's really... No. It's the cure. It's the cure that's needed. But Frank Graham doesn't really want any cures because he wants to go ahead. Because Franklin Graham is a fucking pervert. He's a disgusting, dirty old man who spends his time probably with both hands down his trousers thinking about how other people having sex. And as for sex in the Bible... Well, you know, there's that one passage where the children of Israel conquer a neighboring tribe or whatever, and God tells them to kill all the men, kill all the boys, kill all the women of childbearing years, kill all the women who have had children, kill all the women who have had sex, but save the virgins so that the priests of the children of Israel can just rape the shit out of them. Pull a real number 7 on them. Hee-wee! Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna pray the spirochetes away, Franklin is. And that's not all, though. Oh, no, no. By no means is it just Frank Graham. No, no. There's ever so much more. By the way, I got a note from Tracy a little bit ago. You'd better not drag out Jesse Lee Peterson. Well, I'm not a cruel person, Tracy. Why would I drag out Jesse Lee Peterson when I've got E.W. Jackson and Yeezy? Oh, yes. Oh, yesy. Yeezy, I got Yeezy. Proof that Kanye West is very likely one of the stupidest human beings alive on planet Earth. I mean, God Almighty, if Kanye West was to show up on, say, the radio program with Jesse Lee Peterson, the quantum of stupid would probably throw us right out of the fucking Milky Way, not just the solar system, the whole damn galaxy. Yeezy, as he likes to be called, likes to think of himself as a creative person. And he's into making shoes, and he's into making clothes, I guess. And he likes to make biblical clothes. You might want the hockey puck for this one. Just saying.
Home designs and looking at references from 3,000 years ago and reading the Old Testament at the same time. So it's like a soundtrack to the visuals of the shapes and the ideas and ideals of what we're creating. A lot of my creative friends, I tell them like the Bible is better than Pinterest. You can bring something into space and time we exist in while reflecting thousands of years of truth. Okay, it says, you should keep my statues. You should not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You should not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. And I tell my apparel team that the clothes that we're using, like single material. I remember sending a manager I used to work with a really rude email about how every time he wore this wool jacket with leather sleeves, he set culture back by 10 years. So now I can see.
10 years? Just 10 years? Because Yeezy here is setting humanity back by about 10,000. He's basing design on Old Testament biblical principles from Leviticus. And he's wearing pants. He's wearing a hoodie. Nobody wore pants and hoodies among the children of Israel. They all wore dresses. Does that mean Yeezy's going to start peddling $5,000 dresses for dudes? And it'll only be made of, you know, one fabric, one fiber, of course. It makes my little noggin head hurt.
Bible that says you should not wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material.
Here's the thing. Unless he doesn't consider shoes to be garments, and I don't know about you, but I consider a shoe to be a garment. I mean, I'm looking at the very plain, very ordinary deck shoes that I'm wearing right now. They have a rubber sole and a leather upper. That's two. They've got stitching on them that's made of, I presume to be, some sort of heavy duty cotton thread. That's three. And, you know, Yeezy there's wearing, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't. That man is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. I don't know. Just had a program-oriented question from Greg. Why does your Wednesday page show notice for Dr. Bill O'Brien's virtual civics while on your program you say it's prayer meeting Wednesday? Well, because Dr. Bill was on the air earlier. And that could that's probably why. Please switch it back to a prayer meeting Wednesday alert again like you once had it before. I love to share it on my page along with that Praise the Lord song for all my MAGA thumper friends. especially for one certain MAGA troll of mine who says both you and I are evil, LMAO. No, that's evil. Yes. It'll say prayer meeting Wednesday as soon as the post goes up. That's the easy answer. And the post will go up after the program's over. Kyle says, somehow I knew old Franklin Graham was going to blame the sissy liberal queers out in Hollywood for giving the rest of the population STDs. They're running out of material and are on reruns now. God damn, these people are fucking stupid. Well, yes, they are. And, you know, there's an anthropological moment tucked away in all of this. I think it is still accepted wisdom that when white European colonialists came over here and stole an entire hemisphere and committed a genocide and took every bit of material wealth that was to be had that wasn't nailed down, it's called the Columbian Exchange after Columbus. It's not really an exchange, though. It's not like there was any bartering going on. But it is worth noting that at the same time they were the Spaniards, for instance, were carrying off all that Mexican and Peruvian gold and silver and chocolate and potatoes and tomatoes and beans, you know, everything that we live on now, and maize. Well, they took a little something extra home, too. Because the dreaded Nananua disease was a Western Hemisphere thing. And while the indigenous people of this hemisphere had no immunity to things like the common cold or mumps or measles or the flu or chicken pox or smallpox or polio, they did have a little. Pathological friend that the white Europeans weren't exactly down with, and they took it back to Europe along with, and having raped the bejesus out of indigenous people here, they went home and took it home to their lady wives, who suddenly wondered why these sores and things were growing. Oh, well, there goes dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, growing all over their bodies. No need for specificity. And why, after a while, both men and women alike getting these diseases went crazier than a sprayed roach. So that's one STD, at least. And I don't think Hollywood's responsible for that, Franklin Graham. No, that's just called justice. Question coming in from Ron in Raleigh. If Yahweh is omnipotent and omnipresent, the Alpha and the Omega, didn't he create sexually transmitted diseases? I'm asking for a friend. Does it hurt when your friend pees, Ron? Just wondering. I'm asking for a physician. Of course he did. But he did it to punish the sinners that he loves so much. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to E.W. Jackson. Well, no, before we get to E.W. Jackson, we haven't heard from former liquor supply officer Marion Pat Robertson lately. Marion's a little more than upset. Yeah. Of course, he stays that way a lot of the time. Where'd you go, Marion? Had him right here, ready to go, daggummit. Oh, I'll find him. Oh, yeah. You know what causes rape? Halloween. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the holiday season, so you can expect a lot of clips in the next few weeks about religious lunacy. See, there's the word surrounding Halloween, Day of the Dead. Is the war on Christmas underway yet? I don't know.
This is George who says, Dear Pat, my family and I moved into a new neighborhood this past spring, and I've been made aware of a fall tradition in this area participates in surrounding Halloween. It's called booing. I've been told it's a take on the game Secret Santa, where a picture of a ghost is left on someone's door along with a small gift. The household that is booed is then supposed to boo another home the next night, and so on and so forth. I feel very uncomfortable with this practice. How should I keep this tradition off my doorstep without alienating my neighbors?
Well, George, you're a mean-spirited, ignorant, bigoted piece of shit. So you've probably, if you've been there since spring, you've probably already alienated your neighbors because they know that you're a hypocritical religious maniac. You probably also voted for Trump, so unless you moved into a maggot neighborhood, they're probably not real crazy about you anyway. But that's not where Pat went.
I don't know how you're going to do it. One suggestion would be to decide that's the trip you're going to take to Florida and get out of town. You know, really.
Well, yeah, if you can.
I don't quite know what they're doing, what it's all about, but you don't want to be the freak in the neighborhood. You don't want to do that. And perhaps it's harmless. I don't know whether it is or not. And hopefully it is. But you don't have to participate in the occult.
Well, you know, I mean, it's harmless as long as no one's giving a family one of those tight, fuzzy Angora sweaters that had demon boobies in it that came from the consignment shop that he was raging on about, months and months ago. I mean, as long as there's no demons, but how can you know? How can you know? But yes, participating in a neighborhood act of kindness an act of social interaction. Oh no, that's participating in the occult.
Alienating my neighbors.
I don't know how you're going to do it. One suggestion would be to decide that's the trip you're going to take to Florida and get out of town. You know, really.
Well, yeah, if you can.
I don't quite know what they're doing, what it's all about, but you don't want to be the freak in the neighborhood.
George is already writing to Pat Robertson, so I'd say the ship has sailed on being the freak in the neighborhood. But that's me.
Don't want to do that, and perhaps it's harmless. I don't know whether it is or not, and hopefully it is. But you don't have to participate in the occult in order to be accepted. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? And
yeah, because they were booing in Sodom and Gomorrah. A little ghost would show up, put a parchment ghost on the door, and next thing you know, God sends some angels to go down and rape whoever lives in the house, because, you know, God's love, y'all. Mm-hmm.
And Abraham's nephew Lot, and the people said, you know, they tried to rape angels down there. I mean, it was awful. And Lot,
because he's so fucking old, he was there. It was awful. Because maybe those sodomites looked kind of sidelong at Pat, you know, back when he was a handsome young liquor supply officer in the United States Navy.
Well, you know, he said he vexed his soul night and day, but he chose to live in that community. So I've never heard of this practice, but you've got a problem, and I don't know exactly what the answer is, but you don't want to participate in it, I don't think, all right?
This is Natasha, who says, I'm in a spiritual warfare. I got a message from this girl who has a boyfriend who I added as a friend on social media.
This has got to be Pat's favorite part of the program.
A girl who has a boyfriend and she was mean to me? I was told that it was okay for a guy and a girl to be friends? What? Oh, that sounds hot, Natasha. Really, really hot.
Yeah, I don't know how you square that up, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa asking, how does Reverend Graham's fatwa on Hollywood STDs jibe with Reverend Falwell Jr. letting the pool boys run a train on his wife? Oh, my God! Within the bounds of their Bible-based marriage, I'm asking for a struggling Christian friend. Struggle. I mean, some of your Christians like to struggle with the aid of, I don't know, a PVC rubber suit and a ball gag and some other implements that shall remain nameless, so that dinner in the central time zone at least has a fighting chance. No, I do you there. So, Marion is not real happy about Halloween. Christians generally, the evangelical types, they don't care much for Halloween because it's all devilish. There's a preacher, a follower. Wait a minute. What's this? Steve in New York. Marion's mailbag. So these are the great moral questions this cadre of Looney Tunes are pondering. See, there's Looney again. See? Yes, these are St. Thomas Aquinas got nothing on Pat Robertson, Steve. What to wear, King James Version edition. Dear, sweet, gentle, merciful baby Jesus, meek and mild, kindly deliver us out of the hands of these insufferable Bible-thumping, selectively, of course, tax-exempt morons. While I'm not a Bible scholar, I'm not entirely unfamiliar with the good book. I just can't seem to recall any references in any of the accounts of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to a pre-sermon warm-up act that included electric guitars, amps, keyboards, fancy drum kits, or a psychedelic light show. On the other hand, these are not uncommon accoutrements in today's modern megachurches. P.S., and I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't take up a collection before the show. No. Well, I'm already under Tracy's skin. Fucking Kanye. Jesus fucking Christ. Kanye was a tool when his mother was alive, but after she died, he lost his ever-loving fucking mind. My God, what an idiot. I feel better for having had that little bit of affirmation, I have to say. Steve says, in regard to Franklin Graham, I got a phone call, so I didn't hear the last few minutes. Was there anyone in Frankie Graham's screed mentioning how he'd love to meet a hot, young, sweaty man heathen he'd like to exorcise the demon from by putting his all over the heathen's sweaty body? There's a little too much detail, Steve. I'm a little worried about you, brother. Brother Usher. So back to a preacher by the name of David Grisham. You may recall this guy from a few years ago. He's the guy who went in the mall at a mall somewhere in Texas and started telling little kids that Santa wasn't real. And a year after that, he went up to Alaska to shit on little children's Christmases there. He even made a video at one point in time of Santa getting blown away by a firing squad. Yeah, this guy's a real party. Well, now he's off and running on Halloween. Uh, So there are little stores called Spirit Halloween. It's a chain, I guess. Kind of like Hickory Farms, only without all the summer sausage and cheese. But they sell Halloween stuff because people like to decorate their homes for Halloween. And he's got a stealth guerrilla campaign going against Halloween decorations. He's telling his congregation to sneak into stores and put evangelical Christian tracts into the merchandise at the store. Do not go inside wearing Christian clothing. Christian clothing? What, one fiber? Somebody get Kanye on the blower. I got a question. Do this undercover so as not to draw attention to yourselves. Do not put your church information on the tracts. This will get you nasty phone calls and emails if you do. Do not hang out. So I guess he's kind of admitting the tracts don't really work. 3, do not hang out as a group inside while doing this. If you go in a group, split up while inside the store so as not to be noticeable, and you can cover more area and be quicker. Spend no more than 30 minutes inside each store. Remember, you can go back and do it again several times before Halloween. This helps you keep a lower profile. If you have a large enough group, you can assign one person to keep an eye on the store employees, and if they get suspicious, you can distract them with a question about their products or pricing. Have this person communicate with the other team members by text message. Being on your phone is not at all suspicious in today's culture. 6, if you get caught, just leave peacefully and immediately. Do not reveal what you've been doing. 7, enjoy yourself. This is really fun to do. So this minister of the gospel thinks it's really fun to be deliberately deceptive, to tell lies, and violate just about everything that his alleged savior, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi, who wore a dress every day of his life, said not to do. Yeah. Meanwhile, over there in Kentucky Stan, Ken Ham, who we really wish could be deported back to Australia, but Australia won't have him, is telling the weirdos who pay attention to him to give away fake $1 million bills to trick-or-treaters. Well, I tell you what, that's some love. The love that passeth all understanding. You betcha. But, like I said, E.W. Jackson. Who's your daddy?
The Democrat Party is really now made up of a bunch of liars. There is a culture of lying that has just taken over the party. Now, maybe it's been there for a long, long time, and we're just...
Old E-Dub, he can find him some lies as long as he thinks there's Democrats telling him. But somehow he's missed the 12,000-plus lies told since January the 20th, 2017, by... Well, his daddy, Donald Trump. Yeah. Ministers taking a stand. Bishop E.W. Jackson. Yep.
Noticing it. But there's a culture of lying. The lies just never seem to stop coming from these people. And I'll tell you why. It's because when you believe that there is no God, or that the only thing God is concerned about is climate change, and that the Bible is just full of fairy tales, that you don't have to pay any attention to those, then you can make up morality. And folks, that's exactly what Karl Marx did. One of the things that Karl Marx positive was.
Karl Marx? E-Dub, I hate to break it to you, buddy. I mean, I know you got a picture of Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and Dr. King behind you. It's a minor miracle that they don't all come to life and strangle you. But Karl Marx wasn't a Democrat, dumbass.
There's nothing wrong with lying as long as it advances the cause of communism. And I think these Democrats, they've adopted the same principle. There's nothing wrong with
it. Wait, wasn't that what Pastor Grisham was doing in the last story? It's okay to lie. It's okay to behave in a deceptive fashion. It's okay to open packages that don't belong to you as long as you're advancing the cause of evangelical Christianity.
Lying, as long as it advances your cause, as long as it advances the cause of leftism, you might as well just say it, Marxism, because that's what they're believing these days.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, here comes the dictatorship of the proletariat, brought to you by the Democratic Party, which somehow or another, apparently, missed the whole memo on what Marxism is all about. Because there's just not a whole shitload of Leninist, Marxist members of the Democratic Party. Yeah, as in, not a whole lot, I mean none.
But what does God say about this lying?
Well, if God was talking, he'd probably, or if he was actually even there, he'd probably send down a lightning bolt and turn you, E.W. Jackson, into a little greasy spot. Lucky for you, he's not real. At least not that.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 22 says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him."
1, 2, 5, 3, sir. We can't risk another frontal assault. That rabbit's dynamite.
A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood.
Hands that shed innocent blood. Can that be done at a distance? I'm asking for a president. Because the genocide has started rolling in northeastern Syria and northwest Iraq. The Turks are on the move. And they're on the move because, well, E-Dub's daddy, Donald Trump, told him it would be okay to go in and slaughter some folks.
Heart that devises wicked plans.
Oh, there's a
feet that are swift in running to evil.
Do the feet have to be particularly big, or can they be tiny like the hands that shed innocent blood? Again, I'm asking for a president.
A false witness who speaks lies, and
well, I mean, as long as there's no more than say 13,000 of them.
And one who sows discord among brethren. Now, folks, if that is not a description of what the Democrat Party has become, I don't know what is. You know, Jesus said this.
In other words, he doesn't know. Wait, we're going to get a quote from Jeebus? Jeebus was a Republican? How about that?
He said, "Satan is a liar and the father of lies."
Remind you of a president?
He said, and when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. And he said to those who denounced him, Jesus said to those who denounced him, "You are of your father, the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do." Now, folks, I know the leftists and the mainstream media just go all crazy over this. But the reality is that when you see a culture of lying like that, of just being willing to just stand up and just bold-faced tell a lie and tell multiple lies and keep telling lies, you are looking at a situation in which the devil is in control.
Well, I guess we know who's running the show over at E.W. Jackson, don't we?
From a Christian perspective, there's no other way to interpret that. Because Jesus said, he's the father of lies. So obviously, that's who their father is, because they're lying just like their father lies.
Projection. Might be good for Bishop E-Dub to study up on a little piece of ecology. Not saying, just saying. Imagine, if you will, Ron and Raleigh suggests, Kanye and Kim having deep intellectual post-coital pillow talk. The mind boggles.
Yeah, and with the phrase post-coital pillow talk in the same sentence as Kanye and Kim, the stomach turns. The Central Daylight Time Zone diners really, really can't thank you enough, Ron, for your solicitude. But E-Dub wasn't done. There you are, sitting there, listening to the program, minding your own business. And, well, E-Dub says he knows what you're thinking.
You disagree with anything the left says. You are racist. You are homophobic. You are Islamophobic. You are a hater.
No, it's when you do things that qualify you as such. Disagreeing with the left does not make you an Islamophobe, a homophobe, a hater, a misogynist. No, behaving Islamophobically, behaving homophobically, behaving misogynistically, that's what makes you one of those things, just to be clear.
You are a bigot. Oh, let's not forget the latest one. You are transphobic. Yeah, there's the you know that's the newest one now.
Yeah, because he can't stop thinking about the lady boys.
Transphobic. If you don't want, as one writer said recently, if you don't want a bearded man walking into the girls' bathroom behind your granddaughter or daughter, you are transphobic.
Yeah, and that's not happening because the trans men go to the men's room and the trans women go to the women's room. And the trans women, at least as far as I can understand, really work hard not to have beards. I'm guessing our dear friend Jezebel Collingwood never goes to the loo with a, you know, pointy little devil goatee and a handlebar moustache. Just guessing. Yeah, I just wanted to show that I remembered Jezebel and Jezebel's name. Just trying to make the program a little more personal, a little more outreachy, but not right. What's that? Tracy says E.W. Jackson. So a proud look, you say? Well, E-Dub, you do be looking down when you address you devil daddy. We wouldn't want him to mistake you for an uppity Negro now, would we? Yeah, eyeball rule applies to looking at your daddy the devil, too. That's right. Tracy, just asking for a friend. Meanwhile, Kyle says, forget the fact that Dems aren't a party full of liars. How does lying all of a sudden just make you a communist? Albert in Rhode Island wants to know, does that mean that Jackson has identified Trump as the Antichrist? Sounds a hell of a lot like it to me.
But this is what they do, folks. They do this to shut you down, to shut you up. They do this to try to marginalize you. They do this to try to damage your reputation. They do this to try to convince others that you're a person not worthy of being heard because you're full of hatred and anger and bitterness and you're dangerous, you're violent, and you know, all of this garbage that they attribute.
Yeah, garbage, because maggots never mail pipe bombs to their perceived liberal enemies. They never do that. Maggots never walk into a Walmart in, say, El Paso, Texas, and start slaughtering people because they think they're Mexicans. Maggots never do that. Maggots never go and blow away people at a bris at a synagogue in suburban Pittsburgh. Maggots never do that. Yeah. Garbage.
You, if you don't agree with them. And look, you know, and folks, look, they monitor, I'm sure, this entire network. They certainly monitor my program. And I may be.
Well, we don't monitor it so much as we mock it. But that's hair splitting, isn't it?
I may be letting out information that would be best kept from them, but I think they know this anyway. In their heart of hearts, they know this anyway. You know, we really are at a political disadvantage in dealing with the left. You know why? Because they have no morals.
And
we answer to God. And that puts...
So, in answering to God, old E-Dub here is, for instance, hunky-dory with a genocide getting going real good in northeastern Syria and northwestern Iraq. A genocide being perpetrated by a country that already has a pre-existing history of, well, you know, committing genocide. Hi, Armenia. As far as Turkey is concerned, if there were no more Kurds left in the on planet Earth, that would be one Kurd too many. Yeah. Keith with a note. Subject line, lies. This question was asked by church lady. Could it be Satan? Indeed.
It's just at a political disadvantage because it means that they will do anything.
Yeah, poor E-Dub is at a political disadvantage. He operates his entire scam on a tax-free basis. He siphons money away from the public commons. No one dares suggest that he ought not be able to spew his filthy hatred for fear of offending the delicate sensibilities of the First Amendment. And he can organize all day long and never pay, like I said, never pay a penny's tax for it. He can politic from the pulpit, no big deal. Oh, well, he's at a political disadvantage.
And we will not. They will lie, steal, cheat, deceive, I dare say, commit murder, if they think they can get away with it. And I'm not saying every leftist is like this, but I'm saying...
not all leftists. Okay, I'm glad we're clear on that.
You come from a philosophy that teaches that there is no absolute morality.
But of course, there is no philosophy that there's no absolute morality. What he doesn't like is that people like us, while we acknowledge the existence of right and wrong, we don't necessarily feel like it has to come from some great big bearded juvenile, invisible juvenile delinquent in the sky who has a rap sheet as long as your arm when it comes to just doing straight up evil shit. That.
If there's no absolute good or evil, right or wrong, then the ends justify the means. I mean, that's exactly what Marx taught, right?
No. Upon further review, no. Yeah, wait a minute, says Ron in Raleigh. Doesn't old E-Dud's avatar say he who is without sin cast the first stone? Where is he doing all that preaching about love thy neighbor and all that shit? E-Dub's not interested in that. E-Dub's Jeebus is muscular and has an AR-15. And instead of saying, suffer the little children to come unto me, says, come on, let's go make him little children suffer. And says, you know, take up thy machine gun and follow me. P.S., says Ron and Raleigh, these guys have the best blinders ever. Don't they just? Por favor, Bob, says Scott in San Diego. Let me know when E-Dubs gets to the part about bearing false witness. Oh, wait. That part's his entire damn rant. Yeah, somewhere the goddess of irony is jumping up and down on the bellows, getting stuff nice and hot for E-Dub's arrival. Mm-hmm. By the way, we've crossed over into the second hour of the program. The deacons are still passing the plate, and they're still at zero, and we're still at $345 to go in fundraising. Sorry to mention it, but I just wanted to let you know where we are. At the end of the day, though, it's always about the money. Now, yesterday was Yom Kippur, the holiest high holy day of the Jewish religious calendar. Enter Paula White, who is not Jewish, but is in fact an evangelical Christian, who wanted to explain to her mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers what a Day of Atonement meant. I bet you already know what it means. The second thing you need to know about the Day of Atonement is that it is a day of offering and sacrifice. Meet with me and honor me, saith the Lord. In this opportunity for oneness with the Almighty, God commands, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Every individual was commanded, as they sought reconciliation and redemption, to bring their very best sacrificial offering to the covenant with God. I want you to send your very best Day of Atonement offering, along with your prayer request, right away, using the enclosed envelope. On October 9th, like the high priest, I'll take your offering and needs before the Lord as a sweet savor, believing for a release of his seven blessings of the atonement into your life. There was an asterisk in there. In order for Paula White to qualify as best atonement offering, it has to be at least $100. But it's not like you don't get anything in return. I mean, you get at least the ask for the release of the seven blessings of the atonement. But wait, there's more. You get a book. Oh, but you don't just get a book. You get a four-disc message series. And, I mean, that's plenty for $100, isn't it? Oh, but Paula's not going to just give you a book and some CDs. You get a beautiful custom replica of the Ark of the Covenant. If you go for the $200 level, and this is why we have such a struggle. We don't have good shit to give away. If you kick in at $200, you get all of the aforementioned, plus you get a ram's horn shofar. Mm-hmm. Which you can blow out, which you can use marching around your heathen neighbor's house, blowing it at 2 o'clock in the morning, in the hopes that the walls will come tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Yes. Nothing says ecumenicalism like riding on the backs of another faith to raise enough money to buy a jet. I said, enter Paula White. Always at the ready, Scott in San Diego replies, if I have a choice, I'd just as soon not enter Paula White. I wonder, asks Ron in Raleigh, does E-Dub know that Abraham Lincoln was a big fan of Karl Marx? These jagoffs speak with such authority about shit they don't have a fucking clue about. Maybe we should send him a copy of the chart showing biblical contradictions. Well, he'd just say it was writ by your daddy the devil. So, you know, there's that. I know. As far as October 9th is concerned, and this is a good reminder, Scott says, I prefer to observe the date by pausing to remember a person of peace, love, and imagination, John Lennon, who would have turned 79 today. Were it not for Mark David Chapman and a horribly misread copy of Catcher in the Rye. And just getting in the spirit of the holiday season. Well, up in British Columbia, in far Canada, there's a little town called Chilliwack. Gone, she's been gone so long. She's been gone so long. Yeah, that was an 80s one-hit wonder by a band called Chilliwack. But in Chilliwack, British Columbia, they have the Rosedale Harvest Festival. And as part of the Rosedale Harvest Festival in Chilliwack, British Columbia, they have a parade. And for some reason or another, the community allowed something called the Chilliwack Pregnancy Care Center, which is not actually a clinic or any kind of pregnancy care facility whatsoever, but is instead one of these fake, phony, baloney, frauded up, rubed up, ginned up, dummied up, pregnancy crisis centers, they let them be a sponsor of a float in the parade. Among other things, the Chilliwack Pregnancy Care Center is notorious for lying to women about their options when it comes to being pregnant if they don't want to be. Now, if you've been to a parade, you know that quite often candy is flung from the floats. Or if you're at Mardi Gras, beads are flung from the floats. But no, not for the Chilliwack Pregnancy Care Center. Their little goodie bags had little white fetuses in them. And lollipops with footprints. And a picture of what appears to be a sea monkey. Uh-huh. Now, the folks at the Rosedale Harvest Festival are caught sort of flat-footed. See what I did there? Footprints on the lollipop, flat-footed. Don't try this at home, friends and neighbors. They said they had no idea that little mini fetuses were going to be passed out. And going forward in the future, there won't be any mini fetuses and the groups will only be able to give out candy. This, of course, will move the Chilliwack Pregnancy Care Center to have little, I don't know, sweet tart fetuses made up. In totally Canadian fashion, they said, we understand there were some things distributed in the parade that caused unease. We want to reassure everyone that this came unawares to us as well, and we hope from here on out to limit the handing out exclusively to candy. Mm-hmm. New from Haribo, gummy fetuses. Man. Dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone is really taking a beating this evening. Not quite sure I understand that one, Jimmy. You might want to examine that and resend it, because I don't want to get it wrong. It's so funny how prayer meeting Wednesdays can be so information dense. Let's go back a little ways. You remember how E-Dub was talking about they only care about those lying Marxist Democrats only care about climate change? Sometimes I could just swear they're working from a script. For instance, a group of Fox, well, at least one Fox attack blonde, a group of Fox News talking heads talking about climate change.
I thought this was evidence of why these big climate change proposals will never work, because people don't want to be told what to do.
Well, you even see them with some of the Democratic candidates. They get asked questions that are supposed to seem crazy. Like, the straw thing, that's silly, right? And they go, well, climate change is an existential threat, and maybe we can't have straws. And everyone starts looking at them like, really, guys? This is where we're going? You know, stop eating red meat. These are things that are never going to catch on with the electorate. And it just goes to, climate change is a religious belief for people who think they're too smart for religion. That's really what it's turned into now. And you see all the different aspects. It lines up. They're asking for forgiveness. Do they really think that there's any world in which any of this makes any difference?
Yeah, no, they've got Catholic guilt and they're going to confession, but they just have forgotten about God. So they're worshiping the environment instead. I thought that for a long time, that actually environmentalism in so many places have replaced religion, and you see it with kids in school. I mean, one of my kids, their class said that their motto was treat myself well, treat my friends well, respect the environment. And I was like, that's love your neighbor as yourself and God above all things. It's the same thing. You just replace who's in there. I also think it's funny for NBC. It's a little like CNN, where if you are out there holier than thou, you know, people really don't love sanctimony, and they're going to end up just shoving it right back down your
throat. The biggest weakness that all this stuff always has is that the spokespersons for this movement the hypocrisy always comes out. You know, Al Gore's house uses 20 times the average person's electricity. You look at all these things.
Do we all have to drink now? He said Al Gore. And by the way, the woman yakking about Catholic guilt, that's some attack blonde named Melissa Francis.
And they also had this young girl who was, 16?
Well, quite a summer. I mean,
we got to ask her about the Fed rate next?
I don't think
she's picking on children.
She's a kid.
Yeah, no.
I'm not
no
picking on her, but
children.
She's testifying about climate change in front of Congress.
Let's talk about good fashion.
No kid bashing.
Yeah, no kid bashing, especially a kid who is more alert to the challenges that are facing our planet than a great number of adults.
Congress,
including the three people that she's sitting with.
I read a lot of them yesterday, and it basically came across like, bite my hamburger. You're not going to tell me what to eat.
Yeah, the Green New Deal was a little too broad for me, but I think it is a good thing. I mean, this approach, I think, is silly, but certainly encouraging people to recycle, to compost, to do whatever they can.
This encouraged people to make fun of NBC is what it did. So.
Yeah, because nobody's making fun of that exchange. Except everybody with, two brain cells to rub together. There it is. Okay. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, I'll piss the evangelicals off now. Happy holidays, everyone. Yeah, it is time to haul out the happy holidays, isn't it? Agnes and I were in the store a couple of days ago, and we saw Halloween stuff sitting next to Christmas trees. Eventually, we'll just lump it all into one long holiday. Maybe it won't be such a bad idea. It'll start at Labor Day and go to New Year's. And every house will be festooned with ghosts and conifers and turkeys and skeletons. And the pumpkin spice stuff will hit the stores, about April. Jesus, I saw pumpkin spice hummus. Will somebody please make it stop? I mean, I have daughters, and they're and they like their, I mean, you know, they like their pumpkin spice stuff. So I brought in a couple of containers of, oh Jesus, pumpkin spice, pumpkin the Dannon Oikos yogurt. God, it hurts. And isn't pumpkin spice just allspice and cinnamon and nutmeg and ginger anyway? Because really, pumpkin itself doesn't have, I mean, it's not a great big freight train for flavor. Yeah, good luck convincing America of that. And Alexander says, oh, yes, I remember the 80s music group Chilliwack. You beat me to the punch. It's the curse of the old DJ brain, Alexander. Can't be helped. But through the ages, people have tried to figure out, is there a God, is there no God? Can't prove a negative, all of that stuff. You get Pascal's wager and bishops calculating the age of the earth and the number of angels that can dance on the head of a pin. But there was the proof of the existence of God right in front of us all along.
Have you ever thought about the fact that oranges, like bananas, have been made with a non-slip surface, just the right size and shape to fit the human hand? How each one is packaged is naturally cool take-anywhere orange drink filled with natural sugars, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. Of course you haven't. Not if you're an atheist. You probably don't even know there's a right way to open it.
Yeah, because, you know, atheists, they don't think about things like fruit. Because, of course, the life of an atheist is a fruitless life. Man, I'm on a roll tonight. But, yes, there's a right way to eat an orange. Apparently one slices the top and the bottom off of it and then cuts a slice through what remains and it folds right out.
So you can pick up the mouth-sized, mouth-shaped pieces. All coming to you courtesy of the Maker. And the Maker has even curved it toward the face to make the whole process so much easier.
This is not a joke. This is Ray Comfort, gospel sharp, who looks at grocery store produce for his proof of the divine. First it was bananas and the fact that they've got a handle that makes it easy for monkeys to open the bananas. But of course Ray never really noticed the fact that monkeys don't open bananas that way. Yeah, non-slip surface. Okay. There's only one problem. Oranges now don't look like what oranges started out with. Just this, and it's the same with potatoes and bananas and God knows maize, corn. You call it corn. Maize being most particularly interesting because it shows the genius not of some great big bearded invisible juvenile delinquent in the sky, but of people, human beings, and their imagination. The grass, because it is a grass, a weed, in fact, from which maize, corn, derived, is called teosinte. And it looks absolutely nothing like those 9-foot-tall stalks that grow in the summer, and you harvest the ears off of them, and then you stack them in shocks about this time of year and put pumpkins around them, and they look so festive while we wait to freeze our asses off in winter. No. Looks like a weed. But only the human mind, and a human mind, by the way, that had never so much have heard of Yahweh or Jehovah or God or Allah or the children of Israel or the Egyptians or the Edomites or the Samnites or the Samsonites, they came up with it over the course of about 10,000 years. And that's all lost on Ray Comfort. But I saw a brilliant example yesterday. Sent it off to Dr. John, in fact, because I knew he'd get a charge out of it. Evolutionary biology is difficult to test outside the lab, because evolution being evolution, you need multiple generations in order to see it work, usually. But not for one enterprising group of scientists. This was absolutely brilliant. And when I first saw it mentioned online, it was mentioned in the context of an idea that some beer-drinking scientists probably had on a Friday night, and they put it to work on Monday morning, and lo and behold, it turned out to be a good idea. Evolutionary biology suggests that zebras evolved stripes to cut down on the degree to which they are tormented by flies. So these enterprising scientists said, hey, we should be able to figure this out. Let's put that theory to the test. And so they went and they found some dairy farmer who, I can only imagine, looked at them seriously askance when they, with no smirks on their faces whatsoever, said, sir, we'd like to paint about half of your cow herd black and white striped and leave the others plain. We're testing a theory. But lo and behold, somebody let them do it. And how about this, sports fans, evolutionary biology fans? The cattle that they painted zebra-striped were much less tormented by flies. The fly torment dropped dramatically. I know. Go figure. But yay science, I can't wait for Ray Comfort to do a video about that. And there it is, Brother Deacon Asa. Pumpkin spice hummus, you say? Hold my beer, Bob. And there's the photo. Spam, limited edition, pumpkin spice. You know, the pumpkin was developed by the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, too. And at one point in time, it was an act of sheer genius, the things that they did with squash. Crookneck, zucchini, spaghetti, acorn, pumpkins. And it all leads to pumpkin spice spam. Meanwhile, courtesy of Flavio in Far La Crosse, Wisconsin. Dateline, Idaho, gender-neutral bathrooms. Oh, God. Here we go. Flavio says, this is so funny, I thought I'd share it with you. I heard it on Radio Free Moscow out of Moscow, Idaho, a student station. I listened to it for the alternative music. That lawmaker should stay in the U.S. He'd have a freaky feel meltdown if he saw Western European bathrooms. Lawmaker blasts gender-neutral restrooms.
pushes for Boise State defunding. I hate being in a restroom when someone is blasting. Look, in the Central Daylight Time Zone, just give up. Put the dishes away. Maybe try again in an hour. A second conservative legislator is pushing colleagues to defund Boise State University, decrying what he calls President Marlene Trump's, no, her name is Trump, atrocious leftist agenda. Representative Chad Christensen, Republican, Ammon, posted a photo on his campaign Facebook page of a gender-neutral restroom at Boise State. Christensen wrote in part, "There are two toilet stalls, a urinal, plenty of tampons, pads, and a sink. I wasn't aware that Idaho taxpayers also paid for tampons and pads. I've had it with this immoral garbage. Yes, this is going on in an Idaho university. Does this not encourage sexual assaults? Does this not set up men and women for false accusations?" Not surprisingly, our enterprising young university journalist writes, the response has been sharply divided. Christensen's Facebook post has generated more than 400 comments since Friday, with some commenters supporting Christensen's push to defund the state's largest university, and others mocking the first-term lawmaker. Best response came from a lawyer who wrote a letter to him in the link below. This comes from Terry Pickens Manweiler. Pads for Mad Chad. Dear Mr. Christensen, I read your Facebook post over the weekend. I'm very sorry you're so distraught that Boise State University considers women to be human, just like men. And I'm equally sorry you are upset that there was a unisex bathroom for all genders. Over here in western Idaho, we're progressive enough to believe that all people matter, not just cis men. Thus, to help you with your fear of feminine hygiene products, I'm enclosing a generic, no-brand-name maxi pad for you to dry your tears. They work wonders for absorption. They're also an absolute necessity for a majority of women on this planet. It's long past time you recognize that we are here and we are not going anywhere. Absolute best regards, Terry Pickens Manweiler. Enclosures. She must have sent more than one. A lot of tears. Lots and lots of tears. Apparently, Chad Christensen spends so much time thinking about how other people have sex that he can't imagine them not just getting down to it and doing the nasty and bumping boots right there on the bathroom tile. I mean, that's what he, Chad Christensen, would probably do if he, Chad Christensen, could get away with it. That's got to be a hell of a life to have to live, though. Every time you go to the bathroom, you have to think about somebody having sex. How do they get anything done? Then again, as evidenced by his Facebook post, apparently they don't, if it doesn't have something to do with someone having sex that they don't like and don't like how they have sex. Praise him from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. Could they not just maybe send a professional sex worker to Chad Christensen? It might actually qualify as an act of mercy. Oh, thank you, Jimmy. Give yourself a cowbell, Bob, says Jimmy, for the fruitless life comment. Thank you. I appreciate it. James adding, nothing turns me on like a public restroom.
Oh, the fragrances. Yes, the delicate aroma. Cheryl here. Cheryl writes, I must be an alien. Because the only place pumpkin spice belongs is in pumpkin pie and pumpkin-based desserts. The spice alone in drinks and food just sounds gross. Then adding, you eat fucking oranges any way you want, and bananas aren't natural. And then as far as the... the restroom business is concerned, not business, but Cheryl says, around here we call them handicapped restrooms. Yeah. Yeah, Bill in Allentown got my reference to the Samsonites. They had luggage back then? Well, who do you think invented them? You see, they had to have something to put their stuff in when the children of Israel drove them out. Okay, let's take a break and go over and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott. Scott.
Yeah, sorry, Bob. I have to drop my nuts there momentarily to answer the call because the squirrels.
Yeah, now you did that on purpose. Drop your nuts.
No, I've got in my right hand. A bunch of nuts.
I don't know what's in your right hand. To quit it.
Wait a minute.
Poor Central time zone diners are already half starved, thanks to me by myself.
All right, I'll send you a picture of the squirrel begging and being rewarded with my nuts. I pay good money for these nuts. Anyway, Jesus, I'm all discombobulated here. All right,
is that what they call it now?
Get my other headphone in. Get my other headphone in so I don't get a delay in my left ear while trying to talk to you live in my right ear. I wasn't going to call today. Honest to God, I was just going to sit back and put my feet up and be entertained and informed by the midweek edition of the 3-hour horn extravaganza. But when you launched into the news item about the great bathroom controversy in Boise, I couldn't help but call. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is not the principal function of a restroom to pee or poop, then flush maybe twice to Washington because it's a long way away.
Yes, of course.
Go to the sink, wash your hands as you silently sing one chorus of Happy Birthday because that's how long it takes.
Long it takes, right.
That's right. Use the dryer or the paper towels and leave.
Or use the dryer and then wipe your hands on your pants, yes.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I went through most of my life with the understanding that would basically was the function.
I mean, there might be some hair combing going on in there, something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, if you think you might have a chunk of spinach between your teeth.
Yeah, you kind of do that thing where you pull your lips back and you look in the mirror and make a strange face. Yeah.
But these fixated religious fanatics, and I will grant you, I will stipulate that even today with, you know, equal rights for all persuasions being the law of the land, pretty much, that yes, there is some cruising of the tea rooms. And if you happen to glance under the stall and you see between a pair of feet, a Macy's bag with the Macy's shopping bag with the handles, the 25-cent Macy's shopping bags. With between the guy's feet, you cannot automatically assume, even in this enlightened day and age, that there's not some other gentleman standing in the bag, okay? And that's actually a true thing.
That's genius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that way, when the Macy's sex police or whatever come cruising around to find out who's doing what to whom in their public restroom, they're momentarily lulled into a feeling of, well, nothing going on here. Let's go check the lingerie department. You know, but that is actually something. How do I know this? That's going to be the next question.
No, I'm not asking. I don't want to know.
Oh,
I have no interest in how you know whatsoever. I already know too many horror stories from too many people who have worked retail about what can be found in the circular hanging racks that is not there ordinarily to be seen.
Yes. Okay. So what did you want to know, Bob?
Well, I can tell you, you've got mail.
Oh, do I? Good. I always like mail. Letters. We get letters.
Yes. Suman, back from a holiday, back from a European vacation, says, I have to admit, I do enjoy a pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks once in a while. I got myself one before the show and continued to drink it, despite the abuse heaped on it in today's program. After the comment on delicate restroom fragrances, however, I finally gave up. It is now in the refrigerator to be enjoyed tomorrow when my mind forgets all about the beating it took in today's show.
Yes. and those bathroom fragrance devices, whether plug in on the wall or on the bathroom counter, or even they've got real fancy ones now that are built into the thing onto which you put the roll of toilet tissue that emit an aroma, you know, pine tree, or in this time of year, pumpkin spice. Around Christmas will be gold, frankincense, and myrrh, for all I know. But they don't fool anybody, you know.
Is it roasting turkey in November?
Who knows? Zeke's done shit himself a pumpkin loaded with spice. No. Well, anyway, or a pine tree.
This is all on purpose. I know it.
Hey, look, I gave up on anybody getting a decent meal tonight, any place on the planet. You know, let's have ourselves a fast in honor of John Lennon. These people, the ranting and raving today, have no business being upright and above ground when someone...
Well, see, there you go. E.W. Jackson said it, and there you are confirming him. You'd just kill them all if nobody was watching.
No. I'm just saying that they
You're just saying they should be mining coal.
No. It gives you a sense of just how fucked up humanity is. Today we've got a world in which Richard B. Cheney is upright and above ground, and meanwhile, poor old John Lennon has been dead since December of 1980. Might have been 79 today. Jesus. What? That sort of thing just pisses me off. And I will never forget. I mean, I was a child of the 60s. I remember the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I remember standing in line to go into the neighborhood theater to watch A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles' first movie. And then a few years later, standing in a similar line at the same theater to see the movie Help, in color, no less. I remember their music, okay? And yes, he was a human being with faults and foibles like anybody else. But God damn it. Can't we have anything nice?
I'm beginning to think the answer to that may be no.
I always confuse Mark David Chapman with John Hinckley. Wasn't one of them at a Hawaiian Bible camp at some point in his checkered past?
Well, now you got me doubting myself, but yes.
One of them was, and I don't remember whether it was Chapman. I try not to think about either of them, Hinckley or Chapman. You know, so there again, you know, you got one of them that tried to kill Reagan, and you got another one that successfully killed John Lennon. You know, either way, religion played into their delusions. Or one of them was hung up on Jodie Foster, for Christ's sake. I love Jodie Foster as much as the next guy, but carrying a $12 pistol that he shouldn't have owned in the first place.
Right. But, you know, you couldn't keep him from having one, because if you did that, somewhere some pasty-faced, paranoid, doughy white dude wouldn't be able to feel better about the dinkiness of his dingus.
Yeah.
By being able to get one lawfully.
And speaking of dingi, this is, you talk about the creation, the evolution of oranges and bananas. Did you know that ducks have a corkscrew dingus?
I thought that was pigs.
No, apparently ducks do as well. I think I saw it on the John Oliver's show the other evening. He tends to deal in fact-based facts. I know kitty cats, male kitty cats, have a barb or two or three on their little wang.
I'm a little worried about the fact that you have such extensive knowledge of the dingi of domesticated animals.
Well, I will never forget the day. I was still living in Cincinnati in the late 90s, sitting there having my first cup of freeze-dried coffee. This is long before being gifted an actual ground-brewed coffee maker. I'm sitting there having my first couple of slurps of coffee. I'm sitting there. I look over to the little bird cage, and what do I see but Punky the cockatiel humping Trixie the cockatiel.
And now we've ridden down into the gutter of bird sex.
Stop it. So at the time, I was doing afternoons at a jazz station.
God, you're
Cincinnati.
As reliable as a Swiss watch. You know that? You are.
I don't want to know where the big hand is, Bob. But anyway.
Oh, that's quality.
Thank you. I'm here all week, try the veal. And tip your wait person. So that afternoon, I posed the query on my afternoon jazz radio deal, having to do with the exploits of Punky and Trixie. And I said, I assume they were both male, okay? But maybe I've got one of each. And maybe they were doing the birdie bump. What will my responsibility do be in regards to what may or may not be next? And I got a number of emails and calls, people saying, well, the first thing you've got to do is buy a nesting box just in case. Put it in the bird cage. And if indeed Trixie was great with a baby bird, she would want a place to appropriately lay the eggs and sit on them and all that, which she was, and she did. And they took turns sitting on the eggs, and then after the babies were born, they took turns feeding them. Okay, so ain't nature grand.
And by the way, we've had an answer to the question. James in Illinois letting us know, Mark David Chapman lived in Hawaii. The wrong one succeeded.
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I don't, as also, again, a child of the 60s, I don't really like the notion of any president.
And by the way, you've got some head shaking out there, Scott. Arnold's,
good shaking or bad shaking?
I don't know. Have you ever heard a good siren, Homer?
No.
I always, Arnold says, I always defend Scott, but Jesus Christ, multiple animal organ knowledge is a little bit strange, LOL.
Well, and that's a good observation and based in reality. See, that's the other thing about being an old radio guy. You've got to be able to report reliably for at least a minute and a half on virtually any topic known to man or woman. Don't you? I mean, because if...
Well,
if,
yeah, kind of. I mean, that's sort of the definition of this program since February of 2004.
Yeah. You know, it's just always made sense to me. And some of the best radio people I've ever heard can wax on and wax off in this way.
Really?
Well, no, I mean, you do it. Gene Shepherd was a fucking wizard when it came to...
No, it was the wax on, wax off.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm on a roll. What's on
we're
going
to... We're just going to have to send you a hooker or something. I mean, you're approaching Protestant minister of the gospel status with your double entendres this evening.
Never mind a hooker, Bob. I haven't been legitimately laid since George W. Bush's first term. Send me the fucking loom. Never mind a hooker. You know, weaving rugs by hand. That's a passe profession.
Well, for some reason or another, this conversation has just inspired Kitty in Boston. We're now down to $335 to go. Thank you, Kitty.
Is she asking for a refund?
No. You know, you spins the wheel, you takes your chances.
Yeah, that's true. Just like on the old Wheel of Fortune, once you buy a prize, it's yours to keep. Once you hit send, you know, the only form you'll see your donation in is the quality and excellence of the broadcast.
Yeah, that's when you cue up Bob Dylan singing It's All Over Baby Blue. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, a quick TV viewing tip, because I haven't done one in a while. YouTube has two programs which are relevant in today's political climate. One is called Watergate Plus 30, and the other one is All the President's Men Revisited. Those are both good. And if you're friends with Bob on Facebook, earlier I posted a link to watch the House Judiciary Committee's proceedings from 1974. I know that it's not a perfect match between Watergate and Nixon and Trump and his shenanigans, but at least for those who were too young to remember it or forgotten about it or weren't paying attention back then, it is worth your time to at least see how the process unfolds and how it's correctly conducted. Now, we may not get that this time around, especially over in the Senate with the conviction phase of the proceedings. But if you want to have an idea of what you might expect, you can't go wrong watching the actual gavel-to-gavel coverage. And that link is on Bob's Facebook feed.
Well, thank you. That's useful. Quite useful.
So, and I was watching a little bit of it last night. There's the first segment from May of 74 runs about a half hour, and it's pretty much a lot of milling around and then a lot of housekeeping in terms of who's going to get to do what, and then more milling around. You can pretty much skip that if you want and start with the second chapter of stuff from July 24th, I think it is, 1974. It's fascinating to actually see Republicans behaving in a manner consistent with doing the right fucking thing. And some of them did. There were a few holdouts, even at the very end, on the Republican side. But it gratifies my rock and roll heart to see them taking their job seriously and not doing it with a lot of merriment and glee. They were fucking serious about what they were up to, solemn even, because they saw that it was something that's very seldom done and only on a need-to-do-it basis, this matter of impeachment. And I hope we have the wisdom and the fortitude in 2019, lo these many years later, to not only present a good case, but to come up with bona fide articles of impeachment, because not all of them were voted on, but some of them didn't enter up in the final bill of impeachment, I guess it would be called. Like the bombing of Cambodia didn't turn out to be an article of impeachment against Nixon.
Right, because sooner or later you have to make a decision on whether you want, you put the best efforts at risk if you try to load it like a hillbilly loading a muzzle loading double barrel shotgun. You put it, if you throw in the rock salt and the nails and the screws and the broken bits of glass, hell, the thing may blow up in your face.
Yeah, and it's not a Christmas list. What can we prove and what can we pass, I think was the criteria. And personally, I don't think it's enough to be proceeding with just one.
I think you've got to have more than that. But there's, again, as we've discussed, there's a whole bunch of waiting around that has to go on for stuff to make its way through the courts. That complicates matters considerably.
Well, one thing I did learn from the first segment of the gavel-to-gavel impeachment proceedings in the House in 1974 was that their impeachment inquiry had been going on for 4 months. I couldn't remember.
Well, yeah, what I'm getting at, Scott, is because I've seen it out there, and the social media is not a representation of the nation writ large by any stretch of the imagination. But I'll see, for instance, things like, "Oh, sure, we're going to impeach him over trying to smear Biden with Ukraine, but we just let him skate on putting children in cages." And I understand the sentiment that goes that runs behind that or runs underneath that. But when I saw that the other day, the first thing that came to mind was, that's like saying that you were pissed off because they only got Al Capone on tax evasion, and not all the killing.
Yeah.
The point was to put Al Capone away by any means necessary, and the fucker died in prison.
And Spirocrates had a hand in it, as I recall.
I do believe you're right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
and there wasn't a dick in sight.
Everybody's going to want, everybody has something that they want to make sure that they get into the mix. But the most important part is to get something in there that will stick like glue and drive him from office.
Yeah.
Because among other things, we've got to remember, like you mentioned the Senate phase. Well, the Nixon possibility is out there. And I can't believe that there's nobody in that godforsaken White House who won't look at him and say, "Listen, If you're impeached and you're defeated in November 20, there's going to be a Democratic president who comes in and is not going to pardon your ass, and you will go to prison, Don. You've got to let Pence pardon you. And in order for that to happen, you've got to resign."
Do you think he's capable of seeing that and acting accordingly?
He's scared to death. He has lived, a hero dies but once, a coward dies a thousand deaths. Mm-hmm. If that ancient truism remains true, then the terror will eventually get through to him, if nothing else does. Hey, Scott, I hate to cut this short, my friend, but I'm going to knock off early tonight. I think I ate something that disagreed with me. Which is a real shame because it was something I've taken to being really fond of. But I've been sitting here for about the last hour, sort of wondering if everything was going to stay down. And that's
my last
Parthian shot at now dinner in the mountain daylight time zone. But I am. I'm gonna knock off. I've enjoyed our conversation, but I don't want any untoward sound effects in here.
Of course. And I don't want them.
Let alone aromas.
Right. All right. Well, hang in there, man. Feel better faster, your money back.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
All right, man.
Later.
See ya.
That's our buddy Scott, and I'm sorry about this, y'all, but it got as far as I could go, and well, you know what it's like. I think I've got a touch of food poisoning. That or maybe the stress is getting to me, too. I'm not sure. But thanks. Thank you to everybody who kicked in this evening and through the last 24 hours. We will be at 5:35 tomorrow. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch, Cold River Mountain Watch. Thank you all. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And I love you, son. Later.